Hello, Craig. Happy 4th of July.
Craig's here. Craig is taking time from the 4th of July parade to hang out with us.
He's tired of doing his snakes and sparklers.
Exactly. Well, and Craig doesn't live in Illinois, so it's legal to blow shit up where Craig lives.
Yeah, Craig lives on the internet. Everything's legal on the internet.
Exactly. We found Craig in the dark web. Hey, happy 4th of July, Ryan. It's a weird-ass time to be an American, as I'm sure you know.
That is very true.
Go ahead.
Embarrassed for my country.
Yep. We're going to do the best we can to try to have some fun.
Let's keep things light and talk about a great American sport.
Yeah.
Football.
Fireworks.
Fireworks and football.
Before we do, this is episode 38 of TH Fantasy. I'm Tony. This is Ryan, as always. How you doing, man?
Doing good. What's your favorite firework?
Ooh, you know what? I gotta say, in my more reckless days, which you were there for, I did enjoy Roman candles, because you could pick them shits up and shoot them all over the place.
I did like those too, but another thing I enjoy doing is making up names for fireworks. like the Butt Cluster 2000.
I will say, any firework is maximized if you're wearing 3D glasses.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or you're on mushrooms.
What about both?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I don't know if I've ever combined those two.
I feel like we did at the Dirty once.
Yeah, potentially.
All right. Anyways, so this is episode 38. It's the 4th of July. We're happy to be here. Let's do our number 38s before we hop into our talk of two teams from the AFC West and two teams from the NFC West. Do you want to go? You want to start with your 38?
Sure. Yeah, we're doing the West today. Here's an interesting stat for you, Tony. Some notable names that have worn 38. I have one that I kind of highlighted, but some notable names was Curt Schilling. Bad human being. Terrible. Great baseball player, though.
Do you think he faked the blood on his sock? Have you heard that?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's hard to say.
Yeah, no kidding.
But another person who wears number 38 that is actually on one of the teams we're talking about today, Brandon Bolden.
Okay.
I'm talking about he's on the Chargers this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's listed as their number 4 right now.
Yeah, no shit.
A really fun guy I just looked up. I liked his name was Craig Lumpkin. He spells his name K-R-E-G-G. I didn't really do any research on him. I just saw him on a list of players, and it was like, this is the best football name ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the player I did want to highlight for this week was Mr. Tre'Mont Williams, a cornerback great from the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
He played with them between 2006 and 2014. Left and then came back and played 2018 to 2020. He's drafted by Houston in 2006, quickly cut, and Green Bay picked him up.
Wow.
Interesting stat for you, Tony. Let's see if you can remember this day in history, in Bears history. September 13th, 2012. All right. Okay. I think this is probably Tre'Mont Williams' best game ever, and it was against Jay Cutler. That day, he had 4 solo tackles. He deflected 2 passes and also picked off Jay Cutler twice.
I think that's the game where Aaron Rodgers threw, like, what I think to this day is the greatest pass of Aaron Rodgers' career. I think the Bears were wearing throwbacks in that game. Was it in Chicago or was it in Green Bay?
Honestly, I can't remember when I'm looking it up.
Okay.
But it was September, so most likely it was in Chicago.
There was a play where I think it was that season where Devontae Adams... No, this was... 2012? Never 2012. Mind. That would have been after. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers has ruined my Sunday so many fucking times that I've got this confused with something else. And I don't want to praise Aaron Rodgers for any more than I can. But hey, someone picked off Jay Cutler twice. Good for them.
I just thought that was an interesting stat that when I was looking this up, I'm like, oh my God, he picked off Jay Cutler twice in the same game.
Yeah,
it's not that hard to do, but right.
Yeah, but like, you know, and everyone, if you're a sports fan, you have that thing that like when someone mentions the name of a player that just fucks your team up, you get like a little tingle in the back of your neck where it's like, oh, fuck you.
Yep.
When you said his name, I was like, oh, I hate this guy. All right, I got a couple 38s for you. You ready?
What do you got?
All right, first we're going to talk about Vitor Favorani, a Brazilian basketball player who played for the Celtics briefly, very briefly.
Like two games?
No, he played in 2014. He arrived at his first media day with a hybrid haircut of a mohawk and a mullet. He said, his quote was, "I like dunks."
I like dunks. Oh my God.
He got 18 rebounds in his second game and then got an injury in the offseason a late season injury at the end of 2013. And then in 2014, he got a DUI in the offseason and said to the media, "There's no truth. Somebody in Spain tried to kill me, but he can't." And he was cut before playing in the NBA ever again.
Oh my God.
So that was a fun story that I came across. But the main 38 that I wanted to talk about today was Super Bowl 38. Super Bowl 38.
What year was that?
This was 2004.
Okay.
And can you tell me who played in that game?
2004. So the Bears were...
This was the year before the Bears
were... Yeah, the Bears were 2005 season when they went. The year before, I had to be the Patriots and somebody.
It was.
The
coach of the other team was a future Bears coach.
Really?
Yep. Future. So between 2004 and 2022, Bears have only had a few coaches in that time. It wasn't Lovie Smith, and it wasn't Matt Nagy, and it wasn't Matt Eberflus.
Damn.
It was John Fox of the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, okay.
So Super Bowl 38 was a really good game, but I'm going to tell you it right now. Everyone just remembers the halftime show.
What was that, the Timberlake one?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
But did you know that the halftime show was not just Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson? Ocean of Soul, a University of Texas, or sorry, Texas Southern University marching band was part of the halftime show. As was Spirit of Houston, which is the Cougar marching band of the University of Houston. But it was also Jessica Simpson, P. Diddy.
All those people were on that show?
We're not done yet. Nelly.
What?
And Kid Rock.
What? Oh my God. That's like a $500 million of like halftime show.
Yes. So at the time this was considered the greatest Super Bowl of all time, even though there was no scoring in the first quarter and the third quarter, the game ended with 868 yards of offense and 61 total points.
Holy shit, with no scoring in two quarters?
The club scored for a combined 37 points in the fourth quarter, finally decided by Adam Vinatieri's 41-yard field goal with 4 seconds left.
Wow.
Super Bowl 38, Mohsin Mohamed showed out of his mind in that game.
Mohsin Mohamed, ooh.
Yep.
What a throwback.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some guys in this game. Ricky Prohl, Steve Smith was in this game.
Yeah.
Troy Brown, Mike Vrabel, the linebacker, caught a touchdown pass.
Damn, linebacker touchdown pass? Sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking sick. All right. Less dwelling in the past. Let's move towards the future here. Let's talk about our guys. I want you to go first today. Give me talk to me about... Who do you want to talk about first?
We'll go with the Raiders first, just because of the. Yeah, just because they were the least out of the two teams I did this week. They were the lesser of the two in terms of stats, but they're still both pretty good right there.
And you're high on the Raiders this year.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Raiders.
Okay.
I've said that 1,000 times, I think, on the podcast.
Talk to me. Sell me on the Raiders. Let's go.
Okay, so last year, let's see. Let's take a look at some numbers on the Raiders. Points per game last year, they only averaged 21.8 points per game, surprisingly, which puts them at 18th in the league. And their yards per game, 364.9, putting them at 8th in the league.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty up there. It's pretty good for the Raiders. Their plays per game, 64.1, making them 12th in the league.
Okay.
So they're in the upper echelon of the stats, and pass attempts per game, they were at 37.9. So then they're basically averaging in the top half of the league last year, which shows. I mean, Derek Carr had what? Yeah, let's see, 4,800 yards. He only had 23 touchdowns and a 68% completion percentage. He did throw 14 touchdowns, which is a career high, or 14 interceptions, which is a career high. But I think that's just because of the volume he was given last year. The 14 interceptions is still not that money.
No.
Considering that year Jameis Winston threw 5,000, he threw 30, so...
It's a lot easier when you're getting more than 23 touchdowns, though. Like, if you're doing two touchdowns to one interception a game, I'm fine with that. But right. If it's one-to-one, like, that's not what I want in fantasy.
Right. Behind Derek Carr, you've got Mr. Nick Mullins. You've got Jarrett Stidham. And some guy I've never heard of, Chase Barbers.
Chase Barbers?
Yeah. They've got McDaniels calling plays this year.
Right.
Which I'm really excited for the Raiders on that standpoint. As we all know, they picked up Davante Adams, which is going to explode because the stat that I gave earlier this year in this podcast was something like the last time Davante and Carr played at Fresno State, Davante, I think, had like 30 touchdowns and like ridiculous amount of yards. So if they can get that jive chemistry back, like I don't understand. This team might not be stoppable. They might win all the shootouts in the AFC West.
So you think that Adams elevates the play of Carr?
Yes, because Adams' presence elevates everyone else's position too.
Okay.
If you look at like Waller last year, yeah, he only played like 11 games, but he kind of got shut out because teams just kind of keyed in on him, and that's why Renfro did so good. Sure. So now if you've got to pull the two guys you were covering Waller on, you got to pull one of those guys off. It's going to be man coverage the whole time, and you're not going to be able to double anyone, you know?
Okay. Yeah, you can't cover all three.
Right. Sure. Outside of Adams and Renfro, their wide receivers, okay, there's some talk about Keelan Cole maybe potentially being that wide receiver three, but they also have DeMarcus Robinson. They got Mac Hollins. And then a slew of other scrubs that will be competing. But I think right now there's going to be big competition for that 3-4 spot between Keelan Cole, Robinson, and Hollins.
God, you know I have a soft spot for Mac Hollins.
But we'll see how it plays out. We're not going to know anything till they start doing really good at camp.
Sure. And you know, like... I'm excited to see how McDaniels uses his players, because like last year, remember, we had on the DFS show, we had a lot of starts of Zay Jones because he was cheap and he was their deep threat. So I wonder like how much of a do we have a guy dedicated to just be our play action deep threat? How often do they run out of the shotgun? That kind of stuff. Like, that's what I'm really interested to see next year.
Yeah, yeah. It would be interesting to see who takes that role. Now these are Aaron Rodgers numbers with Davante Adams, but let's just take a look at Devontae's season last year. 123 receptions for 1,553 yards and 11 touchdowns. And that's with a quarterback that really had some chemistry with each other. And if Derek Carr can get that chemistry back like they had in their college days, I don't see how you could expect anything less, if not more, from this duo. And let's be honest, Carr gets a lot of shit. And look at his numbers from last year. He was freaking really good.
He just needs to up those touchdown numbers.
Right, exactly, exactly. Now, I will say that Josh Jacobs did have 9 rushing touchdowns. So that cut into, there was probably some goal line carries.
Sure.
That cut into that production where, say, if Carr got in a situation, he had to throw 7 more, he would have been at 30, you know.
Well, I have a question for you. Is there a better red zone wide receiver in the NFL than Davante Adams?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. No, so, like, what he can do as a route runner, what he and Renfro can do as route runners inside the 20 with Carr at having, like, Waller, who's 6'5", for any sort of jump ball. So you've got two of the best route runners in the league and then a jump ball winner. Like, I don't think we're going to be playing Daniel Carlson in our kicker lineups anymore because I think the Raiders from inside the 20 are a lock to score points.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that in terms of kicking stats. But yeah, we're going to have to discuss that when we go to do kicker lineups later this year.
Yep.
And also Hunter Renfro stats from last year. 103 receptions for 1,038 yards and 9 touchdowns. So out of the 23 touchdowns that Derek Carr threw, Renfro got 9 of them.
Is he the one that regresses the most of the people who were already there now that Adams is there?
Yeah, I think he's going to get under 1,000.
Okay. And probably what, like 80 catches, 70 catches?
Yeah, I think Davante definitely cuts into that target load.
Sure.
But we'll see. Darren, like I said, Darren Waller only played 11 games last year, which gave some actual production to other tight ends that are still on the roster for this year. When Waller was out, Foster Moreau had 30 receptions for 44 targets, 373 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Foster Moreau.
They like Derek Carr likes to throw to the tight end.
They like the tight end. Yeah. Also, Jacob Hollister. 9 receptions, 14 targets for 55 yards and 1 touchdown.
That's not bad for your tight end 3.
No. Then they got this other guy, Nick Bowers. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
But I'll probably play him in a DFS lineup this year if one of these guys gets injured. Also, did you know that Darren Waller is the great-grandson of jazz musician Fats Waller?
Really?
Yes.
I've never heard of Fats Waller. That sounds like a made-up jazz musician.
No, name. No, dude. Awesome. Great. He's a standard jazz musician.
Okay.
Yeah. Check it out later.
I'm going to spin some Fats Waller later when I work out. Yeah.
The great-grandson. Let's look at some running back stats. Josh Jacobs had 217 rush attempts last year for 872 yards and 9 touchdowns. He also had 54 receptions for 348 yards. That's really good stats.
Right. Well, I know that the receiving back got hurt. Kenyon Drake got hurt.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake. Well, Kenyon Drake also finished with 63 attempts for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also had 30 receptions for 291 yards and a touchdown.
Right.
Which there's a lot of production and distribution of these targets going to the running backs in their scheme.
Yeah. I think, Jacobs, everyone said Jacobs can't catch passes. And then as soon as Drake went down, there was that game where Jacobs caught like seven passes.
Right.
And so, like, that's the thing. Like, all of these numbers you're saying to me are great. I'm curious to see how they play in the new system.
Right. Well, it's also going to be curious because everyone's speculating, you know, their new draft pick is Zamir White, Georgia product. They're expecting him to potentially take over by the end of the year just because Josh Jacobs is going to be a free agent. And they might just want to test out Zamir White and see if he can handle the load. Do you think that Vegas will re-sign Josh Jacobs?
No, but I'm also not sure that they start Zeus White. I think Zeus White is a committee back. Like remember he tore both of his ACLs when he was coming out of high school. Like, he's an older guy. I think that what they'll do is they won't re-sign Jacobs, and then with one of the Packers picks next year, maybe one of those seconds or whatever, they can trade back, because next year is supposed to be the running back year. So if they get back in the second round and they take a shot on one of those premier rookie running backs, I think that's what they do because it's a cap space saver.
Sure, sure.
I like White in Dynasty because I think that he could end up, depending on who they pick, be a 30% backfield snap share guy. But this season in redraft, I like Jacobs. And honestly, like, if you ask me, Tony, barring any and all injury, who gets the ball more, who carries the ball more for the Raiders in week 18 of the regular season? I'm telling you, it's Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
They're gonna
it'll be interesting to see how that year plays out.
Right.
There's gonna be I'm probably gonna have some shares of Josh Jacobs in fantasy this year.
He's not gonna command the same percentage of carries, but he's still gonna get the ball a lot.
Okay.
You want Jacobs this year, you said?
Yeah. I'd take him. I had him last year and he was averaging 15 to 20 points a game. Yeah. When I was starting him, it was pretty good play as RB2.
I think you can expect him to get about 12 to 15 a game this year. That would be my guess.
A little regression?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, there's going to be some good stuff going on with, I will always call them the Oakland Raiders, but I know they're in Vegas now.
So. All right. I like it, man. I like it. I like how exciting, as someone who watches as much football as humanly possible, I'm so excited for the AFC West to be as good as it is because they always get the 3:25 time slots.
Yeah, dude, that's gonna be awesome.
We're gonna get to watch so much of these teams next year.
Right. Yeah, because there's generally only 2 to 5 games going on in that afternoon slot.
Right. So let's talk about another one that we'll see probably not so much of, because unless they're getting their ass beat, we're going to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. Oh boy. All right. So, instead of just talking about one quarterback, let's just talk about how the fact that Geno Smith and Drew Lock are fighting for the right to be the tank commander for the 2022 Seattle Seahawks. It is a lose-lose. Geno Smith is actually, I think Geno Smith's a decent game manager, but last year the Seahawks had about 50 less passing yards a game with Smith in than Russ.
What was that game where Geno Smith came in and just like started looking like he'd been playing forever, like a Hall of Fame quarterback?
That was the Thursday night game where Russ got hurt.
Yeah.
I don't remember who they were playing, but it was like he threw like a touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, and I'm like, this is it, man. Yeah. This is it. So Smith was the better backup than Locke last year, but neither quarterback is someone that I want in fantasy.
Obviously.
If you're desperate and you need a spot start, Geno Smith might be okay. But I think Drew Locke is a roster clogger. I don't know. So the team is letting both of them practice with the first team offense in mini camps. So all that we know is that it sucks, and personally, I don't want either of them.
That's just the headline from Pete Carroll's notes that day. Dude, this sucks.
Yeah, this sucks. I'm leaving. I'm going back to college. All right, so Rashad Penny's breakout last season, right? Better late than never, huh?
Yeah.
He won a lot of people their fantasy league. From week 13 through week 18, he had 102 carries for 706 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Okay.
For 5 games, that's bonkers.
That was only 5 games?
Wait, 4, you know, 6. Sorry. Six games. But that's 100 plus and a touchdown.
Yeah. Six straight
games. But the teams that he crushed last year in that streak were Chicago, Houston, Detroit, and Arizona.
Okay.
During his breakout, he had a game against San Francisco where he got 10 carries for 35 yards and no touchdowns. And then a game against the Rams where he had 11 carries for 39 yards and no touchdowns. So I think Rashad Penny's end of the year run is a bit of a smokescreen. I don't think he does anything near what he did at the end of last year. 4 for 4 has him listed as RB31 this year, and I think that's about right. I don't want Penny on redraft rosters. Most of his runs that I saw were on PFF were breakaway runs. So sure, he can make guys miss, but most of his production came on long runs. And those numbers, those aren't consistent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the end of your bench guy? I don't know. I don't want him. Kenneth Walker, however, was my favorite running back prospect in this draft. In the top 72 picks in this NFL draft, the Seahawks took 2 offensive linemen and Kenneth Walker.
Okay.
How much clearer can you fucking get, right?
Do you think there's possibility Walker overtakes Penny?
I think Penny starts the year as a starter, but I think by the end of the year, Walker's taking over.
So if Penny gets injured, Walker's your clear number 2?
Walker's clear 1, because I don't think... Here, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So Walker's ranked at RB30, and I think it's a steal, but I think when Penny gets hurt, because he's gotten hurt every year,
yes,
it'll be between Walker and Chris Carson, who, as of this writing, wants to be back in time from week 1, but at the same time also might retire. So,
really?
That's what's to monitor, because he had a neck injury, so he missed all of last year. So, here's the deal. If Carson's back, I want none of them. But Ken Walker in Dynasty is someone that I want because I think the start of next year, he's the unquestioned number 1 on a team that's invested significantly in the offensive line and quarterback.
Yeah, okay.
Walker's a big-time runner. He's got speed, power, and shiftiness, and Seattle runs gap and zone schemes. Walker is great in both of those. If he's the running back 1, wheels up, man. All right. DK Metcalf last year had a higher percentage per game in receptions, yards, and touchdowns with Geno Smith compared to Russ Wilson.
Really?
Yes. Tyler Lockett's targets and catches also went up, but his yardage stats all cratered. Going into the year, 4 for 4 has DK ranked wide receiver 26 and Lockett ranked wide receiver 28.
Interesting.
DK Metcalf's a monster, duh. But when Geno Smith is in there, it's a low-volume passing offense. So that puts Metcalf fans in a bind. I'm a Metcalf fan, and I keep wondering, is he worth the price point?
What's his ADP right now? Where's Metcalf going? I'm sure it's dropped.
Yeah, he's going... let me pull up his underdog ADP, because... in best ball tourneys, he's not so hot.
Yeah, that's right. You did a lot of best balls. So you're seeing him go pretty late.
His ADP is 76 right now.
Wow.
So end of the 6th.
And what do you think it would be if Russ was still there?
In the 40s? 30?
Yeah.
40s or 30s, yeah.
That's a huge slip.
Yes. So listen to this. He was wide receiver 14 last year with under 100 yards receiving. He had, in eight games, he had 12 receiving touchdowns. So he had multiple two-touchdown games and then a three-touchdown game against Detroit.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes over 1,000 yards receiving but doesn't get double-digit receiving touchdowns by far.
Okay.
I think Metcalf's a solid pick in redraft. If you draft him to be like your flex, you know, like, or a spot starter, I think he's fine. I'm not starting DK Metcalf every week. It's matchup based for me.
Sure.
I think he's going to end up in the mid-20s at the end of the season, wide receiver 22, 23. I want Metcalf around round 7 or 8. If Locke's QB, I want him even less. Last year, Tyler Lockett was ranked wide receiver 16 overall, two spots behind DK. I think Lockett's a lock, get it, to be the highest targeted wide receiver this year on this team, since he runs out of the slot twice as much as Metcalf does. And
yeah, that's true.
And those shorter routes will help whatever quarterback is starting when it comes to limiting turnovers. Lockett, what I don't think we understand is that most of Lockett's production, his games where he spikes, are games when he's catching the deep ball. And Russ throws a great deep ball. Geno Smith and Drew Lock do not throw great deep balls. So I think that Lockett gets more attempts, more targets, and more catches, but I don't know if he has those monster games. He's got a higher floor than DK, but a lower ceiling.
Okay.
So in redraft, here are the players that are right around DK and Lockett. Tell me if you want... rank these guys.
Sure.
I'm going to give you six names. DK and Lockett. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Drake London. Gabe Davis. And finally, Juju Smith-Schuster. Rank these six wide receivers in redraft. What order do you want them in?
Wow. First, I think I'm going to go St. Brown.
Okay.
I think Detroit's got some potential this year. Then I would probably go Gabe Davis.
Okay.
Then I would probably do DK. Then I'd do Schuster. Then I'd do Lockett. Then I'd do London.
Okay.
Just because London I'm putting last just because he's a rookie.
But you're putting guys over DK Metcalf. And I'm just saying, like, as of this time last year, that would have been an unthinkable conversation.
No, it would have been DK all the way.
All right. So Freddie Swain was fourth on the team last year in targets with 39. That's not a lot of targets. He got 39 targets on 366 routes.
Wow.
That's fucking terrible. Freddie Swain is just a guy. Marquise Goodwin from the Bears could cut into his snap share and probably should. D. Eskridge hasn't shown me anything that he would indicate he's worth rostering outside of like the last spot on your dynasty bench. Bo Melton was their seventh round pick, and he's probably not going to make the roster. But if he does, it'll be because he's a returner. Gerald Everett was third on this team in targets last year because he caught a respectable 48 passes for 478 yards and four touchdowns. He's gone.
Guess Noah, where he is? He's on the Chargers.
He sure is. Noah Fant had much better production than Everett last year, but he had 90-plus targets his last 2 years in Denver. There's no way Noah Fant gets 90 targets in Seattle.
No, they're just going to run the whole time.
And he needs volume to produce. So I'm actually like not interested in Noah Fant at all, not even as like tight end like 25.
No.
So 4 for 4 has Fant ranked as tight end 11.
Are you serious?
They have him ranked ahead of Cole Kmet, Hunter Henry, and Pat Freiermuth.
Wow.
I know, Ryan's like, dude, unsubscribe to 4 for 4 right now.
Yeah, I'm not getting my tight end knowledge from them.
In my opinion, Fant should probably score about 4 touchdowns this year and maybe have about 300, 400 yards receiving. I don't care about Will Disley. All right, so let's never talk about Seattle again. Outside of cheap DK Metcalf and Kenneth Walker in Dynasty, I don't want too much of this team right now. Honestly, I don't think DK is on the Seahawks next year.
I think he's going to demand a trade after this shit-ass season they're going to have.
Yeah.
He, and honestly, he deserves to be on a kick-ass team.
Yeah, for sure.
Because his... What's the point of even having him on Seattle? You're basically in a season where you're going to tank to get right. draft picks.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves to be on a team where he can actually help them.
Yes. Do something. I would love to see, I'd love to see DK Metcalf in Chicago, especially being that his... Especially because his dad played for the Bears.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, Terrence Metcalf. He was an offensive guard.
Really?
Yup.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was a guard for some of those early 2000s Bears teams. So come on home. Come on home, DK.
All right. I think that's probably enough of Seattle.
Yeah. Until DK Metcalf comes to the Bears.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Let's go over to the Chargers. Woohoo, the Chargers.
Finally, a team that's going to be interesting to watch.
Another team that's out of the AFC West that's going to be... I think they got a chance at winning the division. Really good chance. And as Tony was saying earlier, you got Herbert and for
okay,
for
so how much? we're doing a salary cap dynasty startup draft, and it's super flex. And we start with $1,000, and I immediately went out and dropped 1/3 of my budget on Justin Herbert because he's the fucking real deal.
And I was saying earlier, a lot of stuff I've been reading this week, a lot of these guys are putting Herbert above Mahomes, above Kyler Murray.
Yep.
And, I mean, his numbers from last year, can pretty much help that narrative. If you look at Herbert's numbers from last year... 443 of 672, 65.9% completion percentage, over 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns.
Ugh.
He threw 15 interceptions, but, I mean, he threw for over 5,000 yards. It's going to happen. I mean, that's going to be, I don't know if that's his career year, like his best stats ever, but I think he's got the potential to do it again. And like you hear all the analysts say, you know, they're called historic years for a reason because they're never going to repeat. But I don't think that's Herbert's all-time career best year.
Okay.
Let's look at where the Chargers lined up in terms of they were in the upper echelon of most of the stats lists here. Points per game, 27.9, that put them at 5th. Yards per game, 390.2. That put them at 4th.
Oh, boy.
Plays per game, that put them at 66.4 for 5th. Pass attempts per game, 39.6. That was 3rd.
Wow.
Their scoring percentage was 45.7. That put them at 4th.
Jeez.
They also had the 3rd lowest pressure rate, 27.1. So, they're an elite team. They didn't do too much to their roster outside
of the offensive side.
No, yeah. I mean, they definitely ranked up their defense, which is another reason I think they're going to win the division with additions like Khalil Mack on defense. And they drafted a whole bunch of guys. And defense wins championships. So, let's see. Let's go to running backs. Obviously, we have Austin Eckler, who had 206 rushing attempts last year for 911 yards, 12 touchdowns, also 70 receptions for 647 yards and 8 touchdowns.
That's nuts.
20 touchdowns on the year.
Nuts.
Interesting stat for you. For some reason, the first 4 years of Eckler's career, he only had 14 carries from inside the 5 yard line.
I remember that.
Guess what happened last year? Last year, he beat that in 1 year. He had 16 carries, including 9 of their 10 goal line scores.
Fuck yeah.
So I don't know what happened. I don't know what flipped the coach's switch. But they just realized they could use him in that. And that baffles my mind that he only was used 14 times in his first 4 years from inside the five.
You want to know why he leveled up? It's because he finally told everyone that he plays fantasy football. And everyone's like, oh, yeah. Shit, that's right. We got to take this dude seriously.
Their backup, Josh Kelly, no big thing. Yeah. 33 attempts for 102 yards, 5 receptions for 38 yards. But a guy they added this year, Isaiah Spiller,
mm-hmm.
potential. If Eckler gets hurt, he's obviously not going to fill that role. But he averaged 5.8 yards in college, a carry. And he played, he played against mostly SEC teams.
He had a bad pro day, and that's why
right.
He went from, the argument was between him and Kenneth Walker, and then Kenny Walker had a great pro day, and Isaiah Spiller had a bad pro day, and it tanked Spiller, but Spiller was considered one of the three best backs in this draft.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, we watched, who was it? Was it Josh Kelly last year that played against Houston and just fucking crushed it in that one game and scored like 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns?
No, I didn't see Josh Kelly score any.
Who just said then? Who was the backup? Justin Jackson?
It was Josh Kelly.
Josh Kelly. Okay, that's probably who it was then. Because it was someone that like, the point I'm trying to make is that offense gets fantasy points for whoever's playing running back.
That's true, yeah.
And so Spiller might be one of the best handcuffs in football if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. But other than that, they've got Larry Rountree as their number 4.
Yeah.
I mean, so we could be in a pickle if Eckler gets hurt.
Yeah.
There's going to be some regression in that running game, and which is going to lead to regression in the pass game.
It turns into a committee backfield if Eckler goes down.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. Yeah. It'll be a mess. But let's hope Eckler stays healthy.
Yes.
All right, receivers. Keenan Allen.
Oh, love him.
What a guy.
He's so good.
106 receptions for 157 targets, 1,138 yards, 6 touchdowns. Now, can you believe that Mike Williams had more yards than Keenan Allen last year?
I can, because he had a couple monster games.
Yeah, it's not by many. It was 8 yards. So he had 76 receptions for 1,146 yards. But he also had 9 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was. Was Allen hurt in the beginning? Why did he come out and start the year as like a monster? He just like flipped the switch and. But he tailed off towards the end of the year. But.
Yeah.
A lot of that production was from the first half of the year.
But he was crushing it.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. They've got Josh Palmer. They've got Jalen Guyton and a whole list of other scrubs. But Jalen Guyton is their on-field stretcher. Yeah. So he's going to be that burn guy that Herbert's going to look to make that 50, 60-yard pass. And actually, he out-snapped Palmer last year, 613 to 458, which is kind of weird. That's a lot more snaps.
Well, my understanding,
because Josh Palmer's listed as the 3, but
my understanding is that Palmer kind of does more of like the Keenan Allen role.
Okay.
And they see the other guy as the deep field stretcher.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Guyton's the guy that you're gonna run the nine routes, but if Mike Williams gets hurt, Guyton fills in there. If Keenan Allen gets hurt, Guyton fills in there.
Right. So if we look at let's take 1100, so 1140, so let's say 1150 average, so 1150, it's like 2300 plus Josh Jacobs 647. They're like almost 3000 yards between three players.
That's awesome.
So let's see. And so somehow he was able to spread out 2000 more yards again amongst everyone else. So that says a lot about his confidence in other players on this offense. It's just not a two-player game.
Yeah.
Like last year, okay, so last year they had Jared Cook, which I'm sure he got a decent amount of those yards and targets too. But this year they replaced him with someone you talked about earlier, Gerald Everett. He signed a $4 million contract this year. Last year with the Rams, he had 48 receptions for 63 targets, 478 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He also threw 3 pass attempts for 20 yards. I don't know where that came from. I don't remember him throwing footballs. But the other guy that people still like on this team, just because Everett's new, is Donald Parham. He only had 20 receptions for 190 yards and 3 touchdowns. But they're saying his chemistry with Herbert could potentially make him the number one tight end this year if Everett isn't jiving, you know?
Oh, that'd be so nice.
I mean, Parham, he doesn't look bad when I see him play.
Right.
It's just his numbers are like, I thought I saw you do more than that, but I guess not. And they've got a couple other scrub tight ends, Trey McKinty and Hunter Campmoyer. So yeah, tight end's pretty thin for them. Okay. I think they're mainly not a tight end heavy game. They just need him in there for blocking schemes, obviously, because Eckler's either running or taking a short behind the yard line scrimmage pass. They need blocking. That's pretty much a third of the time, you know, that's happening. So I really like their run game, and I really like their pass game. Outside of, I don't know what's going to happen to the pass game if, God forbid, one, if not both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are hurt. I don't know what's going to happen to that offense.
You got to believe Herbert finds a way.
I would think so, but with like guys like Joe Reed, DeAndre Carter, Maurice French, who are these guys? What are these? These guys aren't going to do shit.
Okay, so let me ask you, in redraft, half point PPR.
Okay.
What's the earliest you take Austin Eckler?
The earliest half point? Yeah. Shit. If it's only half point, probably 4 or 5.
Really? Who goes before Austin Eckler for you?
Because it's half point?
Yeah.
Derrick Henry. Are we just talking running backs or all players?
All players.
Henry, Devontae Adams.
Jonathan Taylor, right? I mean.
Yeah, JTT.
Jonathan Taylor, Taylor.
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe Justin Herbert.
You would take Herbert in round one of a fantasy draft, a redraft fantasy draft.
Yeah, not a dynasty, right?
No, just a one season. You're taking quarterback fourth overall.
He's gonna get more points than Eckler as a whole. Quarterbacks can average what, over 400 points?
Sure, but is the point differential worth it? Because you could get Burrow in round 5, or you know what I mean? Like, and they'll get 320. I don't know. for me, Austin Eckler, I could see Austin Eckler going third overall.
I also never go heavy on running backs. I always go wide receivers and over running backs in the first couple rounds anyway.
Well, that's how you should do it. Yeah. All right. So anything else? Any last Charger thoughts?
Just bold prediction. I think Herbert has a better season last year. I think he goes... He had 38 touchdowns last year. I'm putting him at 40 or more. I'm putting him at 5,200 yards plus.
Ooh.
And let's see if he can break the 700 attempt mark. He had 672 last year.
Okay.
And I think that's an accurate statement with the teams he's going to have to play. Those six games against those division teams in the AFC West. Got to play the Chiefs twice. Got to play Denver twice. Got to play Oakland twice.
So are you, with those numbers that you're projecting for Justin Herbert, are you saying that Justin Herbert wins MVP of the regular season?
Yeah, and I think of all the quarterbacks this year, I'm going to be hard on him before anyone else.
I'm going to go look at the sports book, because I guarantee you there's Justin Herbert MVP futures bets, and I'm going to put five. I'll put five on it.
Well, let me see. I'll look it up while you talk about the next team.
All right. So today we are going to also talk. Remember last time when we were doing these teams, we predicted an LA versus LA Super Bowl. So
it's for this year, yeah.
It's apropos that I'm talking about the Rams here, and let's start with Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford ripped shit up last year en route to the Super Bowl. But as you'll know, because Ryan and I were super high on Stafford throughout the year, right?
And I think that like that T-Mobile commercial he did like summed it up perfectly.
So one of the things that we know, because it hurt our bank accounts more than most people, is that Stafford had some pretty uneven performances, and there were some games that they won that he didn't play very well in.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, Stafford's a great QB. He's a wonderful fantasy asset. He's ranked at quarterback 13, which I think is a little bit low for what Stafford can do. He has a tougher schedule this year for quarterbacks. He's in the lower third in terms of strength of schedule, so he's not going to be beating up on too many bad defenses. If there's an argument to be made for Stafford improving this year, it's the addition of Allen Robinson as his second wide receiver. And then, what if they get Odell back, man, and they run it back? Like, interesting. Stafford has great pass-catching running backs, and the system is built for him to thrive. Last year, he threw for 4,800 yards and 41 touchdowns, and I don't think it'd be crazy to suggest that maybe those numbers stay the same or go up a little bit.
Right now there I'm on FanDuel Sportsbook. They're the number four team to win the Super Bowl.
Who, the Rams?
Yeah. They're sure. Plus 1,100. It's Buffalo, Tampa, and Kansas City ahead of them.
Okay.
And the Chargers are actually at six. With the
Packers
are number five. How are the Packers number five? He's got no one to throw to.
Yeah, that's weird. All right, so Matthew Stafford, that offense runs a lot of short middle routes that he didn't end up targeting, but I think Allen Robinson fits right in there, kind of doing a little bit of what the Robert Woods stuff is doing, helping others get open, increasing Stafford's efficiency. Stafford locked in on his first read at a higher percentage than most other quarterbacks last year, because it's like, well, there's Cooper Kupp, so I'm just going to throw to Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
But hopefully a more diverse group of pass catchers will open things up. Now it's my time to tell you about why I'm out on Cam Akers. Cam Akers came back from a torn Achilles to be the starting running back for the Rams playoff run, and his numbers were fucking hideous. 67 carries for 172 yards.
That's it?
8 catches for 76 yards. And by the way, one of those catches went for 40. So 7 catches for 36 yards.
Wow.
He is ranked on Keep Trade Cut as the Dynasty Running Back 16. On 4-for-4's redraft rankings, he's running back 17, and I'm selling. Do you remember how much hype Cam Akers had at the beginning of two seasons ago, his rookie year? They were like, dude, he's the guy. It might take him a while, but he's the guy. He only had a couple of good games that year, and they didn't come until late. I remember because I drafted him on hype, and I cut him, and he had like one monster game. Cam Akers, like, he had a couple good games. He underwhelmed in the playoffs. He's still, his Achilles that's a bad injury for running backs. And the offensive line is taking a step back. I think this backfield is overrated right now. Daryl Henderson is running back 44 on 4-for-4, but he was a fine fill in for Akers last year.
It showed some flashes. Yeah.
They kind of went towards Sony Michel near the end of the season, but Henderson was killing it in the first half. With Akers there, I think Henderson kind of does a little bit of what Michel did to spell Akers. Henderson ended as running back 27 as a fill-in, but I think I actually kind of like Henderson as a dynasty buy.
Okay.
Kyren Williams was a guy that they drafted whose tape I loved in college. He tested like shit at the combine. He had one of the worst athletic profiles of anybody. He broke his foot in minicamp, and they're hopefully he'll be back in time for training camp. I don't want to invest in that right now. It's a bad situation. I don't want to. Maybe on a taxi squad.
Yeah, right. Sure.
So Ryan was talking up his boy Devonta Adams here a few minutes ago. Let me Cooper Kupp you, all right?
Cup me up.
Cooper Kupp's season was so ridiculous that even when he takes a step back, he could still end next year as wide receiver one. He had 145 catches for 1,947 yards and 16 touchdowns.
That's like Calvin Johnson numbers.
So that's insane. But we should have seen it coming. Every season that he started 15 or more games, he caught over 90 passes.
Okay.
I know that you liked Kupp a couple years ago. I know that. He was one of your guys a couple years ago. And he got hurt and he burned a bunch of people. But listen to this. He scored in full PPR last year. He scored 439 points.
Oh my God.
So... 90. Okay, so the next highest player was Devonta Adams. He scored 95 less points than Cooper Kupp did.
No fucking way. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if he takes a step back and scores 100 less points, and you only get Devonta Adams 2021 numbers. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's true.
All right. Cooper Kupp is the fucking man. I think Cooper Kupp is a top three redraft draft pick. And I think you just put him in and you're like, here's 25 points a game, 20 to 25 points a game.
That'd be so awesome.
All right. Moving on. Allen Robinson quit on the Bears last year. But as a Bears fan, I can tell you that the organization quit on him like way before he did, right?
Yeah.
He caught 38 passes for 410 yards and one touchdown in 12 games.
Wow.
So
underwhelming.
So I'm going to bank on Robinson returning to form because he usually catches around 65% of his targets, which he was not even close to last year. Right now there's 145 targets open for wide receivers in this offense, which could change depending on if Odell comes back. But I would expect actually Robinson gets some of the Kupp routes and Kupp takes some of the Woods routes. You know, the Rams have that very specific, they have that very specific like off tackle motion that they snap the ball on when the receiver's coming like right off the offensive line.
Sure.
And I think those are like, those stick with Cooper Kupp. Like they just used him a little bit differently than they did last year.
Sure.
My guess is that Robinson ends up somewhere between 60 and 70 catches, 800 yards, and 4 to 6 touchdowns. He has him ranked. They have him ranked as wide receiver 22, which I think is pretty accurate for someone that I think is going to be like a strong weekly starter on your fantasy teams next year. I like to follow the money. The Rams gave Allen Robinson $46 million over the next 3 years. They're going to fucking use him.
They have to, yeah.
You don't throw money like at that if you're not going to use it. Van Jefferson is the token deep threat of this offense, and he does it really well. Do you know that Van Jefferson had 800 yards receiving last year?
Yeah, I knew he did pretty well. I was high on him in a lot of DFS last year.
So what I wrote is he filled the Robert Woods role after the ACL tear, and I think he's a decent DFS play that I want no part of in redraft. He's an interesting dynasty asset, but I think his ceiling's limited, and you really only as like maybe he's going to catch a 50-yard touchdown pass on DFS and just hope you get lucky.
Yeah.
So, our tight ends. Before we wrap here, Tyler Higbee is recovering from an injury, and his status going into next year is unknown. But I
What did he get injured with?
I want to say it was a shoulder.
Oh, so it's not like a crazy bad injury.
I'm not sure. I know he didn't play in the Super Bowl because he got it in the
NFL. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I think if he comes back, his ranking of 20, like tight end 21 is about where you're going to get him. He's going to catch 50 passes for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns like he does every year. He's a streaming option or a cheap DFS play, but honestly, his value goes up if there's any sort of injury. Then I think Higbee, like they look at his splits, and without like Woods, his numbers are up. When he becomes the second target on that offense, he does great. So If Robinson or Cup go down, those targets end up splitting between Higbee and Van Jefferson.
Sure.
And their backup tight end is Kendall Blanton, and I said, what the fuck is a Kendall Blanton? And that's the Rams.
Kendall Blanton sounds like a disease. Like, I got Kendall Blanton's disease.
I got the, you got, did you hear? He got diagnosed with KB.
Dude, you got KBs, man.
So those are our four. Hey, we're about a month away. We are 1 month away from the Hall of Fame game.
Ooh.
So, football season is around the corner. We're getting excited here. We'll have some training camp news, I'm sure, coming up sooner than later. There's not much that happened. I mean, Terry McLaurin got paid, which is cool, but like,
yeah,
it's pretty much
He got his. I was happy for it.
Hell yeah, he deserves it. Not too much else to talk about. So I think we should probably just call it here. We'll be back next week with... Who are you going to do next week? You got the Chiefs and the Broncos?
Yep.
And I'll be with the
Cardinals. 39.
And I'll be doing the Cardinals and the 49ers.
Ooh, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to look too far into Trey Lance. So
that's fun. I'm going to look into a lot of Russell Wilson speculation.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Everyone have a good 4th of July. Don't blow your hands off.
Keep all your fingers. Good night.
Good night. Darren Waller is the great-grandson of jazz musician Fats Waller.